I want to give you guys a second to be able to flip through your Bible. So if you guys have your handouts, you see it. There's a ton of passages there. Look, the meat and potatoes are going to be in Romans 12, Matthew 18, and James 3. So as I get started, give yourself some time to flip over to there. If you don't want to flip, then just listen. I will read them, I promise. I'm not going to just tell you guys to memorize them and hope you know them. Meat and potatoes of the passage today are going to be Romans 12, Matthew 18, and James 3. And I want to celebrate Pastor Bob. He's taken a week off to go spend time with family. Do you guys know that you guys have literally one of the most loving and caring pastors that there are? I mean, this church is exceptionally blessed to have Pastor Bob. Yeah, give him a hand. To have Pastor Bob. And so we want to be praying for him as he's out with his family, that he has time to just recharge. It is difficult when you're the leader to be able to fully unplug and dismiss and get away and recharge. And so we want to be praying for him this week as he's gone spending time with family. He gave me the wonderful task of talking about not gossiping. And so I joked with the staff this week. I said, I got Jonah beat. Jonah had a 8-word sermon that was famous. It changed the lives of Nineveh. And I said, I might have a 2-word sermon. Just don't gossip. All right, we're done. But no, I was studying the scriptures this week, and I really felt like the Lord had more to say. Instead of another don't, what's a do? And so the title of today's message is Speak Well of One Another. And before we get in and pray, I don't know if you guys have ever been a part of youth ministry, but in youth ministry, we like to give candy out, and students eat a ton of candy. I don't know about you, but how many of you guys can open up like a Skittle packet or an M&M packet or Kit Kat or Snickers, whatever your favorite piece of candy is? How many of you guys can open that piece of candy and just take one little tiny bite and then put it away and you're done for the rest of the day? How many of you? I like responses. You guys know that. Huh? None? Yeah, nobody, right? Because candy is amazing. Gary, I don't believe you, man. I don't believe you. Candy is amazing, and scientifically, candy gives us this dopamine effect, right? That's why we love it so much. You eat it, you feel good immediately. What happens if you eat an entire bag of candy? Like 3 hours later, you don't feel so good. You have a sugar crash. You start maybe getting like a little anxious, like in the midst of that before the sugar crash. If you eat a whole bag of candy every day, you're probably going to start getting wider instead of taller. If you eat a whole bag of candy every day, you're probably going to start having issues with blood pressure and heart issues. It could lead to a whole bunch of stuff. Proverbs 18:8 tells us this, that the words of a gossip are like a choice little morsel. They go down to the inmost parts. And as we go through this idea of speaking well of one another, I wanted us to see it through the lens of a piece of candy. I wanted us to see what it means to gossip through a piece of candy, because candy seems so good when you first eat it, but it has so many long-term consequences if we keep eating it. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for your living word. Lord, I thank you for inspiring it. I thank you for making it inerrant. I thank you for being the authority behind it. And Jesus, I just pray that we are able to take this word from our minds to our hearts so that we can start moving our feet for you. We love you, and we just pray that this word sits with us so that we can reteach it to somebody else. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's the issue? The issue is this. Scripture tells us all over the place. In Romans 14:13, it tells us, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another instead. Make up your mind and not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. In Colossians 3:9, it says, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self. As Brittany told us earlier in Galatians, you've taken off your old self with its practices. In James 5:9, it tells us, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. What is Scripture trying to get across to us? Don't gossip. Don't judge. Don't lie. Don't do all these things. What is Scripture really trying to teach us, though? It's trying to teach us that those things are inherent in us. I was watching this movie, April 2004, blockbuster film came out. Modern day cult classic. It is an incredible movie named Mean Girls. Mean Girls is this story with a lead actress, Lindsay Lohan, playing this gal named Katie Heron. And Katie Heron moves back from Africa and starts attending high school. She steps onto the scene of the high school, and she immediately is faced with cliques everywhere. She sees there's jocks over there, and there's the chess club over there, and then there's this one clique called the Plastics. Now, the Plastics are exactly what you think of them. The Plastics are the Barbie dolls. It's all these girls, and they're ruthless. They're so mean to each other. And Katie can't figure out how to fit in, and so she immediately becomes friends with two outcasts. These two outcasts quickly tell her about all these cliques, and Katie determines that she is going to infiltrate the Plastics. Well, in order to infiltrate the Plastics, Katie had to be mean. Katie had to start gossiping. Katie had to start spreading rumors. Katie had to start telling lies about other people to other people. And it culminates with this huge, epic scene at the end of this movie where they discover this book called The Burn Book. And The Burn Book has every rumor about every person listed out in it. It ends up where there is a school-wide meeting to go through the toils and the response that gossip has. It is literally a modern-day parable about what we are to do with gossip, and it is so, so true. 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus who walked on the earth, and he taught us these same things that Mean Girls taught us in 2004. What is the issue? The issue is that we gossip. Why do we gossip? When doing a review of Mean Girls, an Oxford studied researcher decided that she needs to figure out what the issue really is. And so she tells us that we gossip to one another because it allows us to fit in. When we share a rumor about someone with a friend or someone that we think is a friend, we immediately get that same candy effect. We get that dopamine effect. They like us. They want more of that. I'm going to keep giving it to that. And that's why we gossip. She went on even further in this study, and she said that if we are friends with someone who doesn't share rumors, we think that they're weird. We immediately think that there's something wrong with them and immediately think that I don't know if I can be friends with them because they don't talk about other people. To go on, there was another study done by a guy named Dr. Rick Hansen. Dr. Rick Hansen created this idea of a thing called a negativity bias. It's what fuels this Oxford research study. Dr. Rick Hansen tells us this. He tells us that negativity bias means that we have grown up in a world where we focus on the negative more than we do the positive. Let me show you how this has played out in your real life. When you go to work, you know more about what you don't do than what you're allowed to do beyond your job, correct? When you go, you know that you're not allowed to skip lunch. You know that you're not allowed to push that button. You know that when you're a student, you can't go to the bathroom without raising your hand and getting permission. Don't do that. Don't get up out of your seat. Don't talk until you are called on. We're always told the don'ts. So Dr. Rick Hansen realize that we grew up in a culture that is taught a negativity bias. But he says this. He says the response isn't to just try to be positive all the time, because negativity plays a super important role in our lives. You see, negativity bias is what allows us to correct bad actions and make them better. I bet all of you guys right now are probably like, David is the worst. This music was too loud. I wish I was inside. The cold is hurting my bones. Or I run hot and it is way too warm right now. This slight breeze is really going to give me a cold later, right? We focus on the things that are bad about what we're experiencing right now. I'm doing it in this moment. I guarantee I'll go to Audrey later today and I'll tell her, I wish I would have said that. I think I should have enunciated this better. I think that nobody was paying attention because we focus on the negatives. We're taught to do that. So Dr. Rick Hansen, he doesn't say to change that. He says, be aware of it. if we're aware of our sin, if we're aware of our sin, then we know that Jesus will come and correct us. It is exactly what the word repentance is. When we repent of our sin, we aren't just deciding not to for the day. We're deciding not to forever. We're making an about face and we're moving away from it. This is what the gospel says. How do we change this learned behavior? And this is where the note-taking is going to come into effect. There's going to be 3 points that I'm going to tell you guys, and it is exactly what Scripture is telling us. And in fact, it's exactly what Mean Girls in 2004 told us. They're the 3 points that will always be true about how to correct this inherent nature of us to stop gossiping and start speaking well of one another. In Romans 12, 1-2, says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Point number one is this. You got to allow God to transform us. I like to make things personal, so I would write that in there as allow God to transform me. Whenever we generalize things, we always think it's the other person, not us, that is the one that needs that. So allow God to transform me. Romans 12 means nothing. The rest of these points mean nothing if we don't listen to Romans 12. Romans 12, if we don't believe that we are to be a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12 doesn't matter. The rest of these points don't matter. If that doesn't matter to you, this is a really good time to check out of the sermon. Super good time. Get on your phone. Instagram's waiting. Facebook's waiting. There's like that game Among Us, right, Galen? That's waiting for us. If Romans 12 doesn't matter to us, nothing else will. Because Romans 12 tells us one really important thing. It tells us two, but one really important thing. First is what Bob told us several weeks ago. Pastor Bob said to be a living sacrifice means that we are handing ourselves over to God and God is taking us. God is in control of everything. It's not, here's my foot, God. I'll let you have that. Hopefully you steer me well. No, it's Jesus, you have control of my life. Take me by the hand and guide me through it. See, if we don't present ourselves as a living sacrifice, then the second part of Romans 12, 1-2 cannot happen. The transformation of ourselves cannot happen without Jesus Christ entering into our lives, taking control of it, and allowing us to repent, allowing us to about face. So we need to allow God to transform me. We need to be transformed because we cannot allow God to do the second point. The second point is this. We cannot allow God to supply us with wisdom if we're not transformed. So we need to allow God to supply us with wisdom. In the beginning of this, I illustrated what the problem was through a passage in James. James spends an incredible amount of time talking about the dangers of our tongue. He equates it to a ship being steered by a little tiny small rudder. And the rudder, if it turns, will control thousands of pounds of ship, and it's so small. Similarly, our tongue can praise God and can curse God all in the same sentence. I can say, Jesus, you are Lord, and someone's ugly all at the same time. The tongue has the power to damage us. It has the power to damage relationships. It has all the power. And the tongue is so dangerous. James, therefore, spends tons of time in this. If you guys have not had a chance to read the book of James, it's short. It is an easy one to read. Read it. Spend 20 minutes. You'll be done. He talks about the power of the tongue, but then he goes on and he says in James 3:17, he says, the solution is this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. In order to get to this point, James had just talked to us all about the dangers of it. And he tells us to turn, to not fall to the dangers of the tongue, but to submit to the wisdom that God supplies us. You see, the really cool thing about the Holy Spirit is when we ask, he gives immediately. The fruits of the Spirit aren't to be worked towards. They're to be received. And so when we ask, we will get. And if we ask for the wisdom to be supplied from God, he will give it to us. You see, I bet you the Plastics and Mean Girls, if they would have asked for God's wisdom, that school would have looked a lot different from day one, right? The issue is that we sometimes fall short of asking for the wisdom. I do this all the time. I think I can be so confident. And if you ask Audrey, she'll be like, dude, you need a chill pill. Like, seriously, you don't know everything. That's just the truth. You don't know it all. And sometimes I rely on my own wisdom to find the solution. Sometimes I rely on myself for the answer and not rely on God. Sometimes I don't submit to that. And if we allow God to supply us the wisdom, then this last part can be true. You see, negativity bias isn't just going to go away. It's something that we do, right? We're not going to stop telling a two-year-old, don't put the poison in your mouth, like you're going to die, right? So we have to still point out the negatives. But what Dr. Rick Hansen was telling us and what Scripture ultimately is telling us is that we need to be aware of it. We need to respond to it differently. And this is how Scripture tells us to respond. First, we ask God to be in our lives. We transform ourselves through being a living sacrifice. Second, we ask for the wisdom that only comes from God to be in our lives so that we can follow him and not our own wisdom. Thirdly, we need to allow God to be among us. What I mean by that comes from Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. Now, this is a long one, but bear with me, okay? This is the most important point today, so I need you guys to bear with me right now. It says, If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he doesn't listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. You see, Matthew 18 tells us this most important part. Allow God to be among you in your conversations. It tells you not to go to Jimmy Bob over here and tell him all about Sally Bob's stuff. It tells you to go straight to the person that you have an issue with. We used to have this saying back in the day. We used to call it fish in the drawer. If you have fish in the drawer, what's going to happen? It's going to stink. It's going to stink real bad. So we had this saying, you had to clear out the fish in the drawer within 7 days. Because if you don't clear it out within 7 days, it must not matter to you. It must have really not been an issue. Because if it wasn't cleared out in 7 days, oh man, could you imagine walking into your kitchen 7 days later with fish in the drawer? Imagine if that fish now is in your personal drawer. It's in your heart. Imagine if that fish, that issue that you have with someone else, is never talked about. Imagine what happens to that relationship. Do you think it flourishes or do you think it starts to fizzle? Probably fizzle. If we clear out the fish, not by talking to someone else about the fish, but by talking to the person who we have an issue with, that is what we need to do. See, Matthew 18 tells us something super important. You guys are probably like, David, Matthew 18 tells us to go tell the church. What? That's gossip. No, Matthew 18 tells us to tell the person who has just sinned against us. It tells us to go and confront the person. And when we confront the person, now we know that what we are going to share with a brother and sister in Christ is not a rumor. It's not a lie. It's not false. It's not going to make them look bad. It's going to encourage that believer to repent, to about face. You see, the rumors and the gossips and the lies, they happen when we do things like the burn book. They happen when we decide we're never going to talk to that person about that. We're going to instead decide that that's true for them and now ruin their lives because of it. You see, at the end of the burn book, at the end of Mean Girls, we get to this culminating scene where they're in this auditorium, they're having this school meeting, and all of the people spend hours sharing all of the junk that they have been holding on to, all of the issues that they have with one another. They have what ends up being like the largest counseling session ever to happen in a movie scene ever. They spend hours talking to one another about their junk. The reason being is because if they didn't, the school was literally going to erupt in a riot. It was so bad. What does Mean Girls tell us? Mean Girls tells us that we need to confront our brother and sister. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that we need to confront our brother and sister. And there's one final thing. Jesus did this exactly. When he showed up on the scene, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were running the show. The religious leaders of the time were running the show. And they decided that they were going to lead by teaching the law through a lens of judgment. And Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And it's fulfilled through loving God with everything and loving your neighbor as yourself. And I challenged the youth a few weeks ago to think about what that means to love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love you? How do you take care of yourself? Because if you're willing to talk bad about yourself, you probably are willing to talk bad about your neighbor. If you're willing to talk bad about yourself, though, are you really loving yourself as you would love your neighbor? And I challenge them to think about that, because we often think about the loving your neighbor part and seldom think about as yourself part. See, Jesus came on the scene and he didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law through love. We are to fulfill the law through love, as Jesus did. When we have an issue, we confront the issue. He didn't back away from the Pharisees. He talked straight directly to them. He didn't back away from anyone who had a problem with him. He confronted it head on. There's a reason we talk about the man 2,000 years later. Not only did he die for our sins and raise again 3 days later, but he came and he taught us how we should live as Christians, what we should be doing. In closing, 2004 blockbuster film, modern day cult classic, whether you want to believe me or not. Modern day cult classic. It's like The Breakfast Club. Mean Girls seems to be an effective parable of what we are to do with gossip, what we are to do with treating one another better. 2,000 years ago, God manifested on this earth as Jesus Christ, and he gave us an option to say yes to him or no to him. And he gives us that same option today, to say yes to his life transformation power or no. And if you guys have not had the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please consider it today. Because without him, there is no transformation. There is only negativity bias. Let's pray together.